All right. Now, if you got your Bible, open your Bible. Man, you got quiet all of a sudden. Look at somebody. I'm going to have to get us back together. Look at somebody. Just look at somebody. All you got to do is look at them. Just look at them. Don't look at me. Look at them. Just smile real big. And now ask them this question. Have you signed up? No guilt. No guilt. No pressure. All right, I want to talk to you just a few minutes this morning about the blessings of serving. You knew this message was coming. The blessings of serving. So why? We know we do it for Jesus. We know. We understand we're supposed to think of other people more than ourselves. And we kind of live in a society that has an obsession with self, right? Our community, our culture is just obsessed with self. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at what I'm having for lunch. I mean, we just want everybody to know, and there's nothing wrong with showing somebody lunch. But as a whole, our culture has become so inward. I want what I want. And we even say things like, hey, you just do you and it'll be okay. No. No, the worst thing you can do is you. Jesus explained to us, don't do you, do me. Show me. Show people what I look like. Don't just do what comes natural. As a matter of fact, water flows downhill. And that's what our culture is telling us to do. Just flow downhill, lowest common denominator. It's okay. Just do, act any way you want to act. And as long as you feel justified in the end, it's okay. That's not what Jesus told us to do. He gave us some things that he wants us to do. And one of those is to focus on others. When we have, when we fantasize about getting a lot of money, we don't often think, well, I would just do all this philanthropic stuff. I would just contribute lots of money to other places and I would just continue living like I'm living. If we dream about all of a sudden coming into a lot of money, what do? Oh, man, I'd buy a new car, I'd buy a new house, I'd go on vacation, I'd tell my job where they could, you know, I'd do all, it'd be all about me. And Jesus is trying so hard to point us in the right direction. So here are the five things. Remember this, God never lets us do something for him that he doesn't bless us in a multiplied return. He always blesses. He's never going to let you do more for him than he does for you. That's important. So here's the five blessings I want us to look at this morning. Here's number one. Serving is just good for your soul. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now we are being told, hey, hang on to your money. And the Bible teaches us to save and all of that, work hard. But the world is telling us, be stingy and you'll have more. And the Bible here is saying, if you're generous, you're going to prosper. If you're thinking outside yourself. And then he said, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. He's really saying, when you serve others, I'm going to take care of you. Studies have shown that volunteering is good. This is important. It's good for the mind, it's good for the body, it relieves stress when we serve somebody else. You know, when we tap into our gifts and our passions, and it builds our confidence and it gives us energy and it gives us strength, and encouragement and healing go hand in hand with serving other people. We get encouragement, we get encouraged when we give encouragement, when we serve other people. I just feel good when I stop focusing on me and start focusing on others. It's just good for our soul. It's just good for us. We always get more than we give. That's number one. Here's number two. Serving allows us to discover and develop our gifts. I have heard and had this conversation so many times, and I hope I get to have it many more. It goes like this. I'm not sure what I'm called to do. I'm not sure why I'm here. Now, this is incredibly important because God created us, every one of us, with a purpose. He didn't just say, okay, I got a few extra folks over there. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I'm, you know, they're alive, so let's just let them hang on. You know, we'll take them out a few years from now. That's not the way it works. God created you. The Bible says you were formed. Before you were ever on this earth, God formed you. God thought of you. God prepared this place for you. God has a plan for us, every one of us. And serving allows us to discover our gifts, and it helps us develop our gifts. Most of the time, somebody starts serving in an area that they're not called to. Most of the time, we start doing something that God is not, that's not our ultimate calling, but it gets the ball rolling. It gets us moving in the right direction. And then before long, we say, you know, that's not my thing, but let me move right over here. Let me try this. This seems like where my passion is. This seems like where my gifting is. And we work there, and then we go, okay, let me adjust a little bit. Let me fine-tune it a little bit. Let me work on this a little bit and get to that place that we finally realize this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm called to do. 1 Peter 4 says this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Now stop there. Look at what he says again. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He's given you talents to be used, right? Now, he didn't say, I'm giving you these great gifts so that you can go out and get the American dream, all right? I'm all for it, but that's not why he gave us our gifts. Why did he give us our gifts? Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking, then speak as though God is God himself or speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ, through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And when you see the word amen, it means so be it. He's like, I want you to get this. I want you to accept this as a part of your life. God's called us to do some stuff. God's called us to do some stuff. Back in the day when I was a young Christian, and I was asked if I would teach a, back then we had Sunday school. Sunday school is where you go and you sit down in a classroom and somebody teaches you, and you better not open your mouth. All right, that's what it was for me. That's what I thought it was, okay? I'm thankful for Sunday school. I love it. I am what I am because of those teachings, all right? So somebody asked me, would you be willing to teach for one Sunday, this junior boys Sunday school class. Now, let me tell you what junior boys means. That's a nice way of saying, would you teach these knuckleheads? Junior boys, whatever. Critters, that's what it was. It's like, and I said, because I wanted to grow in the Lord, and I said, yes. And I worked hard. I had theological words I wanted to teach them, right? And I realized about 2.5 minutes in, they don't care what I prepared. And I learned very, very quickly that I better adapt or they were going to eat me alive, all right? So I started there. And I remember when I was a kid, as a young teenager, I would work in kids' church. And I was, back then we had puppets, all right? This is old school, all right? Nobody uses a puppet anymore, all right? It's a video. So I learned to do a puppet. You learn to hold your hand up and do the puppet. And loads of fun. And I was like, this works. I like this. And I kept doing it and kept working at it and learning to teach a lesson here and there. And later on, I became a children's pastor, all right? And Pastor Jack and Miss Shelley do so much more than I ever dreamed. So I don't compare my talent in children's ministry to theirs. Listen, what they're doing with your kids right now is amazing stuff. If you haven't seen it. But you start to realize, okay, I'm good. This is fulfilling right here, but I think there's something different. And then one step after another, you get to exactly where God wants you to be. I'll never be all that God created me to be as long as I am living in my comfort zone. Discomfort is not a bad thing. Our culture is telling us it is. If you're uncomfortable, it's wrong. No. God is constantly teaching us to get out of our comfort zone. He is constantly urging us to try to follow Him. Serving pushes us out of our comfort zone. Here's number three. Serving surrounds us with others who can help us follow Jesus. You need somebody to help you. I need somebody to help. That's why we're here. We're a big family. We're a big old dysfunctional family, but we're a family. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I get amused at people who say, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. I'm like, well, heck yeah, there's hypocrites there. Where else are you going to find a hypocrite? I mean, come on. Of course we're going to mess up. Of course we're going to fail. But we need each other. We have to have each other's help. Hebrews 10 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Sometimes you need your buddy to look at you and go, hey, man, you've been thinking about you a lot lately, and you need to go think about somebody else. You need to be motivated to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together. He said, we got to get together. And some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. He's like, Jesus is coming. We need each other. And so when you sign up for a team, there may not be anybody on that team for Servolution that you know. Or if you sign up to serve on a team right here every week on our dream team, you might not know anybody, but eventually you're going to build bonds. And eventually somebody's going to be praying for you. And eventually you're going to be praying for somebody, and you're going to be encouraging somebody in your life. They're going to be doing the same for you. This was part of God's plan of how the church is supposed to work. I need you. You need me. Forrest Gump said it, or Bubba said it. You just lean on me and I'm going to lean right back on you. All right, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Isolation is the favorite tactic of the enemy. If he can get you alone, he's got you. If he can get you alone, he's got you. You got to have other people in your life. Here's number four. Serving helps us to see others like Jesus sees them. When we serve others, we start to see other people the way Jesus sees them. This is important. Again, in our world of identity politics, divide, 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 divide. And God is saying, bring us together. I need you to come together. Now look what He said. Then the king will say to those on His right. You've heard me read this scripture many times. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. So it's a judgment day scene, right? 35. For I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Have you ever seen a more beautiful picture of servanthood? I mean, that is a servant's heart. So the king says, look, I'm going to reward you. You are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. He said, so look, you did all those things, so you're going to be rewarded for that. But now watch what happens in the verse 37. Then these righteous ones will reply. Let's look at the next screen, guys. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? And when do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. It's a picture of us taking care of people. It's a picture of serving says, I'm going to do something for somebody else with nothing in return. Even though they don't look like me, even though they don't act like me, even though I don't have the same problems they have, they don't have the same problems I have, if we only serve those who look like us, we are not serving. If we only serve those who believe like us, we are not serving. That is self. If I only take care of the people who look and act like me, I'm not serving. I take care. God is asking me to take care of the people who don't look and act like me. If we only serve those who are worthy, we'll never serve anybody. The Bible's telling us we need to stand up and serve. If I'm a believer in Christ, if I'm a follower of Christ, if I'm a disciple, he's asking me to get out of my comfort zone and serve people who are truly hurting. Here's the fifth one. Serving allows us to see God working. Serving allows us to see God at work. So this passage is of the first miracle, the recorded, first recorded miracle of Jesus. So they're at a wedding, and the bridegroom runs. They run runs out of wine, and somehow the mother of Jesus, Mary, finds out that they are out of wine, and she says, "Jesus will take care of it." Don't you love that when your mom does that to you? He's so talented; he'll just handle it. I don't know what she had seen Jesus do before this point, but you can imagine him going, "Mom, come on, all right." I don't know what happened, but she said, talk to Jesus will take care of it. And Jesus said to the servants, and this is important, he said to the servants, fill those pots. People say they were 20 to 30 gallon containers. Fill those pots with water and then serve your guests from those pots. And so that's what they did. They filled them with water. There was no running water. They had to go get the water, bring it in, pour it in the pots. They bring it in. Now they've got these giant vats full of water, and they start dipping it out and start pouring it. And someone comes to the bridegroom and says, "Look, what in the world? Nobody saves the best wine till last. You always serve that at the first when nobody's inebriated, all right, and they can appreciate it. And then you serve the bad stuff later." He said, "You save the good stuff till last. What in the world are you doing?" Now watch this. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew. Now get this. You don't get anything else. The servants knew. He called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. That whole thing is beautiful, but the one word, the two words I want you to get is, of course, the servants knew. The servants get to experience the power of God like nobody else. They recognized the miracle of Jesus. They were on the inside. They saw what happened when Jesus said, "That water is going to turn into wine." They were there in the middle of the miracle. Nobody else recognized it. Everybody else thought that life was just going on along as normal. And here's Jesus working a miracle. And the servants saw it. They were in on it. I believe if you are a follower of Christ, you want to see the hand of God at work. I often see people, we'll say, "Well, I just don't see God doing anything special anymore. I don't see all that stuff happening." Here's the response. If you're serving, you're going to see the hand of God at work. If you're serving, if you're in the trenches, as Teddy Roosevelt said, if you are the man in the arena, if you get your hands dirty serving, you see the hand of God at work in your life and in the lives of those around you. You start to recognize it. Why? Because you're looking for it. If you're just going through life oblivious, you just think that somebody else is providing the wine. I'm just going along. Everything seems good. But if you're serving, you see what God is doing. The guests never knew what happened, but the servants were the ones who witnessed the miracle. The hand of God. God doesn't just want to work through you. God wants to work in you. God's not just interested in working through you. He could get the water bottles to the park without you and me. All right? He parted the Red Sea. I bet he could handle a fountain in the park. That's not what it's about, though. He wants to work through us, but he wants to work in us at the same time. So if I say, "I don't have time, I don't know what to do, I don't have any special skills, they don't need me, I'm just not going to I'm not going to get involved. And it's not just about Servolution or Dream Team. It's about a lifestyle. I'm not trying to recruit you. I think God will do a good job of that. I'm not trying to put any guilt on anybody. That's not the way we do it around here. But if I truly want the hand of God at work in my life, I really want the reality of God's grace to show up in my life, I've got to serve. Now watch this. God doesn't, and this is important, God doesn't call people that are already equipped. He calls people and then equips them. He doesn't say to you, hey, you've got some good, you're talented. I could use you. He just picks all of us who are just, can I just be honest? He just picks losers and says, I'm going to make you a winner. All right? All right? I'll give you the talent. I'll give you the results. The Bible teaches us that it's our job to plant, it's our job to water, but God gives the increase. If I just serve, God will bless me. God used men and women in the Scripture to do great, mighty things. He used Moses to part the Red Sea. When he called Moses, here was what Moses said. But I don't speak plainly, Lord. I got a problem. I get nervous and I get tongue-tied. God's like, I got it. I'm going to use you to lead a few million people, and I get it. You got a speech impediment. But here's the thing. God wants somebody that will bring their weakness to him and will bring glory to God. You see, if God just picked people who were talented and beautiful, then he wouldn't get any credit because we'd be walking around, look at what I did. All right? God uses people that are in need. David was the youngest of all the sons. When the prophet came looking for the next king, they brought all of the sons out. Started with the oldest, went all the way down, and the prophet said, none of those. God didn't choose those. You got any more sons? And his own father sort of goes, well, we got one more, but he's just out in the back 40 watching the sheep. You know what he meant? There's not much to him. He likes to play a harp a lot. He sings a lot. You know, but go get him, the prophet said. The prophet saw him and said, he's the one. He's going to be the future king. The Bible says that the prophet anointed him, which meant he poured the oil, the anointing oil, over his head, and it ran down all the way to his feet. And that oil represented the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. And when he stood in the power of the Holy Spirit, there was not one enemy that could stand against him. He was the man of God for the moment to serve God. Amen? David ended up defeating a giant. He was eventually the king. Paul in the New Testament he used to arrest Christians for following Jesus, and God just knocked him off his horse one day, blinded him for a few days, and said, I got something different for you to do. Now watch this. Can you imagine the guy that used to arrest Christians showing up at a meeting of some Christians and going, hey, I know you know who I am, but I had this experience. Can you let me in? Listen, he had some stuff to overcome. You think your past is bad. We don't think you're going to arrest us if we let you in here, right? They thought Paul was going to arrest them and have them killed. Our past is not an excuse to give up on our future that God has for us. I just want to say this in one word. If I wait till I feel good to serve, I will never serve. Because Satan will always put obstacles in my path, in your path, to keep us from serving. So what is it and where can you start? Where do you start serving? I think you start serving at home. I think that's the place God wants us to serve the most. I think you expand that. I think you serve in your church. I think you serve in your workplace. I think you just say, hey, I'm just going to buy everybody a Coke out of the machine today. I'm just going to, why are you doing this? You're crazy. You're a little bit, he's weird. That guy's always giving stuff away at work, and I see him praying. Have you seen him praying? Has he asked you if you want him to pray for you? Listen, servanthood is unusual because the world doesn't do it. The world doesn't understand this thing. not the way Scripture explains it. God has something for us to do. I want you to stand with me, everybody. I just encourage you this morning. Today is an average day in July, July the 11th, right? It's just an average day. Simple day. God uses average people on average days to do amazing stuff. If I'm waiting for an amazing day to start serving, I'm going to be waiting a long, long time, because God uses average folks on average days. And in the middle of serving, you might not even realize what's happening. Can you imagine the people, the servants, when Jesus said to them, fill the pot up with water? I can imagine them saying, but Mr. Jesus, we need wine. We know about the water, but they need wine out there. He said, just do it. It's just an average day. Average people. Imagine when Jesus was teaching the 5,000, and one of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, hey, everybody's hungry. You should send them home. And Jesus said, you feed them. I don't know about you, but I would have hated to have been the guy that said, everybody's hungry, and then Jesus said to me, you feed them. Well, we don't have enough money. And Jesus, now watch this. Jesus said, what do we have? He said, well, we got a few little fish, and we got a couple of little pieces of bread, and we took it from that little boy over there. All right. It was a little boy's lunch. And Jesus said, all right, give it out. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that moment like, okay, here we go. I'm going to try. And every time they reached in the basket, not from their bank account, not from their ability, from what Jesus was doing, every time they reached in the basket and handed another fish and they looked back, another fish appeared. And the basket just stayed full of fish and full of bread, and they kept passing it out and passing it out. And then the Bible says there was 12 baskets left over. And how many disciples were there? 12 disciples. God will always bless you when you serve. You talk about getting out of your comfort zone. When Jesus said, you feed them, he was immediately out of his comfort zone. And yet, Jesus blessed those 5,000 with a meal, but he blessed those disciples with enough to take home. I don't know where you're at and what you're going through this morning, but here's what I want us to do. There are moments when you're just too tired to serve. Life has just been rough. It's just beat you up. And that's the minute where you take some time and you get well and you grow. And you let other people serve. But then there's that moment where you got to say, okay, it's time. It's time for me to make a difference in the world God placed me in, because he has a calling on my life. So we're going to pray. I want you to pray a simple prayer. It goes like this. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Just use me, Lord. God, we thank you so much for your grace. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've been faithful every step of the way. Lord, in a self-first world, we want to be those people that stand before you one day and took care of the least of these. But Lord, sometimes it's hard to get motivated to do it. We let circumstances and things slow us down and keep us from following you 100%. And Lord, we're just asking for your help today. We're asking for peace. But Lord, then we're asking for motivation. Lord, not just motivation for a minute or a day or a week, but motivation to make the rest of our lives a life of servanthood. whether that is inviting people over to our house and feeding them, or whether that is changing the tire of someone in the parking lot at work, or whatever that looks like, God. We just pray that you would use us for your glory, your honor, and we know you're going to bless us, but that's not why we want to do it. We just want to serve you and honor you today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's what happens. First of all, I want to say this. If you don't know Jesus, around here we like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. You have to believe in Jesus, and you got to confess him as Lord of your life. Tell somebody else, I've admitted my sins. I've confessed Jesus as my Lord. Tell somebody about it. Find another believer. If you don't have somebody, just come pick some of these crazy people on the front row right down here. Just tell somebody. Find somebody right before you leave. Just say, I'm starting my journey with the Lord. And just start to grow. Find a church home. We would love for this to be your church home. But if you live somewhere else, that's okay. Find a good church family. So here's what's going to happen. We pray this prayer, this simple little prayer. Lord, use me. But the 50 or 100 yards from here to your car is where life sets in. We come in here, and man, the band, they sing us into the presence of the Lord every Sunday morning. I love them. They are here early and working hard, and they just lead us into the presence of the Lord. And when you're standing in the presence of the Lord, you just want to say, I'll just go anywhere, I'll do anything, send me anywhere, Lord. It feels so good. But then you get in the car that needs a new tire. And you need some more gas, and you're about to spend $50 on lunch, and life sets in, and it kind of demotivates us. I just want us to be aware of that. I just want us to be aware. Satan will use circumstances to keep us from serving other people, and we end up in a place we never intended to be. We go through weeks or months of our life going, I don't know why I don't feel good. I'm just not feeling it today. I just want to challenge us. Just remember that's going to happen, and God wants to use us. Amen. All right, we're going to pray one more time. Lord, bless us as we go, and have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody.